Hello and welcome to the Women's Rugby League podcast. I'm joined by a very special guest. I'm joined by Rachel Thompson. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So, it's been a while. Things have changed. How have you been?
Yeah, so not played much, well, any rugby for 16 months. So, it's been long, drilling rehab process, but we're getting there.
I gotta say, like, that 16 months, it must have dragged for you, but for us it's absolutely flown. It don't feel like you've been missing for 16 months because you've still stayed visible.
Yeah, I think it's felt like a lifetime, but at the same time also it doesn't really feel that long, but it has been. So parts of it have gone quick and then other parts of it have dragged. So it's been a roller coaster, to say the least.
So for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what happened, what injury did you get?
So it was a game against Castleford in 2021 here at Robin Park. I dislocated my kneecap. Oof. And just went to tackle someone and then like spin around the back and my foot got stuck in the floor. They popped my kneecap back in on the pitch and had an MRI a few weeks later and had snapped my ACL, had a grade 2 MCL to snap my meniscus.
Wow. I knew you'd done your ACL, I didn't realise you'd done the rest of it as well.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do something, do it properly.
That's it. If you're going to be injured, you might as well be injured.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true. So, I instructed in November 2021. And then in August last year, 2022, I had the Cyclops lesion growing on my ACL, which is the fancy word for a ball of scar tissue,
so I had to have
that.
If you don't have that scar tissue removed and when you do start playing again, there's no movement in that. It'll pop next to it.
Yeah, they said it wasn't necessarily causing it any damage, and I could have chosen not have it removed and try and play in the World Cup, but it was just causing me too much pain. I couldn't move properly. I didn't have like full range in my leg, so there was no chance I could have played on a world stage without having it done. So I knew that having the op would roll me out of the World Cup altogether, but I knew it was better to get it fixed properly than try and play on it half fixed. So I had it operated on, and then the end of November I tore my ACL graft, just plain touch, which wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't a major setback. It was just didn't need surgery. Just needed a bit of time to heal.
Oh,
just coming back from that now.
I didn't realise that you'd had that as yet another setback.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, to be fair. It was only a couple of months ago, and just trying to pretend it didn't happen and just try and push on. I think you just gotta go to the place where it's only a bit of a setback, and yeah, it's frustrating, but in the long run, and when you look how long you've been on the sideline anyway,
yeah,
it's not feeling. You've just gotta get it right, and just crack on.
That's it, isn't it? You've had the bad injuries, now you're rehabilitating. How do you feel in yourself at the moment?
I think, like anyone, I suppose, who's had a long-term injury, I'll tell you, you have your good days and your bad days. You've caught me on a good day. I'm all right. I'm happy. I've been to the gym already at 6:30 this morning.
And go on, lass.
Just waiting to go again. but you know, not every day is like that. Some day that get to the gym and it's hard because you're in pain or you have to try and push through and get on with it. It's, you know, it's we're not full time athletes, so we have to find time. There isn't enough time in training to get everything I need to do done, so I have to get up before work starts at 5 o'clock. I have to get into the gym at 6 to start work at 9 and, you know, go training as well. So it's been tough. It's a physically demanding injury, but I know it requires a lot of, say, TLC, but it is boring. It's rehab, it's strength, it's weights, but I know it's what's got to be done.
That's the thing, you hit the nail on the head there. Like, we're at the verge of professionalism, but professional in the women's game at the moment for top level players is going to gym before work, going to training after work, possibly being out the house 16, 18 hours a day, couple of times a week. People forget that. They go, oh, great, there's some money. It doesn't matter. They're still having to do it's crazy amounts of work and stuff like that off the field.
Yeah, it is. And that's the reality of it. I suppose I'm lucky in the sense that the gym and the training and the work is all in the same building, but it has a start and end point. I mean, I say I'm lucky sometimes, that drives me insane because,
you know, I got all here the time.
And I won't leave till 9:30 tonight, and it's the same place. But it's just what's got to be done.
That's it. The frustrating thing is, like, you're one of, I'd say, we're like one of the grade A players. You're one of the people, but as a fan, we want to see you play because you are exciting. And the sooner you're back in Super League, the better for everybody.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. That's my aim. But I am fully aware that, you know, 16 months on the sidelines a long time.
And yeah,
the game developed a lot since I last got on the field. I'm not deluded enough to think I'm gonna step back onto that pitch and be half the player that I was before. And I know it's gonna take time and patience, which I must have somehow. I'm still here, but at the same time, I'm excited to get out there and play with, you know, no pressure, and just enjoy playing rugby with my friends again.
That's it. So you're injured, you miss the entirety of last season, missed the World Cup, but you're still visible during it. Everyone still sees you. Obviously, you're working in rugby as a job, which is fantastic. It's something that I think more teams should be doing, employing the stars of the female teams in their foundations and in their setups. So you said it's moved on a bit. What do you think the growth has been over the past 16 months?
I think just from watching the game, you can see, you know, it's become faster, it's become more physical. The skill level, I think, has improved massively. You know, I've only had to join in, like, you know, bits of training just at my club, and I can tell that, you know, the speed of the game is faster than it was, or I'm just unfitter, I'm not sure. But you can just tell, you know, from watching the World Cup, the quality of the game has definitely come on in the last couple of years, and that's because there's more investment in it. There's more people that know what they're doing around the game. There's more people with the knowledge to, you know, deliver the better gym programs. More clubs giving the better facilities. So, and the younger girls coming through as well. You know, our academy here is really good, and it's scary how good some of them girls are, but also really exciting.
That's
to see them develop for the team. So, yeah, the game has definitely come on a lot just from watching it. I can tell, but it's good.
Yeah, it's been a positive move on because you could tell everyone involved now takes it dead serious. The Super League's not a hobby anymore. Yeah. It's a fully committed. And it is. I want to see TV deals now because the product's there. It's still exciting. There's still the Mavericks in it. There's, you know, it's different, but it's not different enough to be not watch it. It's different enough to be better.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting. It's what it should be. It's just as exciting as the men's, which we've all always known. But you know, now it's actually getting out there a bit more. People can see that, and I think the World Cup did a lot of influence on that. It, you know, it did a great job and showed what women's rugby is about and what they can do.
Well, I tell you now, the World Cup, it opened so many eyes and so many people wanted a piece of it. And the, you know, you go there and we have no professional players, and New Zealand and Australia have two teams full of pros. So the England team can hold the head high, because what more do you want them to do? What more sacrifices do you want them to make? Like, it was unbelievable. The atmosphere is wow.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, everyone that's been involved in it and the girls obviously know what they sacrificed, but even the fans that got behind them and the families, they know what it meant to them and how well they did. So yeah, definitely, I think they know that they can walk off with their heads held high. They did an amazing job regardless of you know where they actually finished. Couldn't have done any more. They left everything out on the pitch, and as a nation, I think everyone saw that.
That's it. You can lose a match, and you can lose a match, and they battled from minute one to minute 80. Every minute of it, every second, they stayed in the whole thing. They battled the whole way. That were different. That were different to previous times when, you know, 10 minutes and it's been took away from them, and it's all time trying to rack it back. They were still fighting, even when they knew they couldn't. They still wanted it.
Yeah, and I think that probably is massively to do with the amount of effort and sacrifice they had to put in to get there. You know, the work that people did outside of training, and the commitment and the sacrifices that they made. They knew that a lot of them players might never get this opportunity again, especially, you know, just playing a World Cup on home soil. It's a unique thing, and I think that the pride and the passion took over. Even when they knew the game was away from them, they dug deep for the whole 80 minutes. So
yeah,
wasn't that good?
I've not thought about that, but if you think about it really, because like next World Cup's France, then you're probably going to have Australia, you probably have New Zealand, you might have somewhere else. You're looking the next, at the earliest, it'll be in the 20, it'll be in the 2030s for a home World Cup. Wow.
Well, they're long retired, but...
Make a comeback. Throw your hat in. Let's talk about Wigan this season. What are the changes made? Have you got anyone coming in?
Yeah, so we've got quite a young squad. We did at the end of last season. We got quite a few injuries, not just myself, but we ended up with 13 injured first team players. We rely heavily on, you know, our younger girls, and they stepped up. It was tough, and they did it tough, and you know, some games were really hard for them, but what they learned and the experience they get, you know, to lose a game, say at the beginning of the season, 60 odd points to nil, to then, you know, lose to York in a very close semi-final, just showed that through the season and through their own grit and determination how far they came, and I couldn't have been prouder of them. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the captain and they need their arm put in round it. That's just the true facts. They did so well. And because of how much we had to rely on them last season, you know, they've earned the place within our squad. We don't need to go and recruit. We have so many, you know, good homegrown talent that we don't need a bunch of superstars. I'm not saying that we'll go ahead next year and win everything. It'll take a few years for us to develop and find out who we are. But, you know, these girls are the future of this team. You know, me, myself, and, you know, Vicky Moore, we're getting on. We're not going to be here for much longer. We are old, and we have to invest in these young girls. There's no point keep bringing big signings in for a couple of years for them to leave, and that's not what the club's about. And I don't think it is across the whole of the Wigan club. We're focusing on what we've got, and we're working to develop them.
Well, that's always been the Wigan thing, is we don't need to go sign X because we can already produce someone equal, if not better. And the fact they got to that semi and they played like a Wigan team, they were so tough, they were so stubborn, they just didn't go away. From the beginning of the season to the end, that was, the growth was there. We've say 13 players out.
Yeah, and it was massive, you know, and our academy's, you know, got a big part playing that. I don't think they actually, you know, they played a few throughout the season and they didn't lose a game, and that just shows that the talent that we've got there. So we knew it was there, and, you know, we're lucky that we've brought a few of them up this year that have turned 17, the likes of Grace Banks and Berry and Lucy Sams. They're just solid players, and they've dominated the younger competition for years, and I'm excited to see what they can do within the Women's Super League. It's that next step up for them, but to play with a bit of experience. And, you know, I think in a few years, you know, these girls will in the future be pulling on England shirts. I've no doubt about it. They've got some unbelievable talent, and I'm excited to see them grow, whether that's next to them or on the sideline. It's exciting for the team.
It is, and you go, like, you got these young lasses just turning 17, and they'll be turning 17, some might even turn 17 during the season, and they're going to be in with, like, literally, like, they've got you, you're Rachel Thompson, you're going to tell them, like, this is what we want you to do, this is how Wigan is as a club, we want you to, and these lasses, you got, like, 2-3, because of how fast things can move in this sport at the moment. They could be 8-9 months away from being an international player.
Yeah.
Which is the most crazy thing you can say in the world.
It is, yeah, and it's exciting, and I know that, you know, these girls are from local teams, and they're here because, you know, they love Wigan and they've obviously loved the environment. They could probably play anywhere, but, you know, they love being here, and they love the environment that we've created. So, you know, I think especially now there's all this talk around, you know, players being paid and stuff like that. And I've spoken to other teams, and, you know, it's going to cause friction, some teams being paid and some teams not. But within our team, not one person has mentioned, oh, why am I not being paid? Or why are they getting paid and we're not? I know they're here because they either love the club and they love the environment and they want to play for Wigan. They're not interested in money, and they're so young that they're just here for the experience, and they're loving, you know, that next step up. And I think that's really important for us to create that environment of people that want to play for Wigan, not be about money or anything like that.
Because
that's not saying that
eventually that will come. It will come in, and it's going to go team by team, and it'll, as more media gets involved, as more attendance, people forget the attendances have grown, they maybe probably doubled in 4 years. I'd say easily have doubled in 4 years. Just that's me going to matches and watching. I remember going to matches between big teams and there might be 50, 60 people there. You go now, there's 700, 800 every single time.
Yeah.
That's a big difference in 4 years.
And the game will get there, and teams will follow, and as will Wigan. But when the centre of everything that we do isn't revolved around money, it's about developing them younger players and, you know, giving them the experience to pull on a Wigan shirt, which is a massive honour. I know we're in a good place. I think in a few years' time, we'll be in an even better place.
That's it, because you go, like, you win it, you win Super League, you have a bit of a rebuild, and you have another little bit of a rebuild. You're not at a point now where next season, so the big difference you've had when you've had your rebuild is Super League were completely restructured underneath your feet. Like, there were not much more you could do. They restructured it initially for the World Cup, and then the big criticism was they just didn't get enough games.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it was a hard balance, you know, finding enough games, but then not too many games because, you know, So we do have to get up and go to work on Monday morning. So, you know, it is quite difficult to find the balance to do that. But I think we found that, you know, keep pulling people in wasn't working. We need some consistency, and we were only going to get that from the younger girls coming up, you know, that have been around the team, whether that's the first team or the academy, and we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, so to say, and build from there.
That's it. And you're in a town where, like, the pinnacle of that town is a rugby club. It is what pretty much everyone wants to be as a young person. They go, I want to be. So this year, I want to go play for Wigan. That was the young lads. Now there'll be a generation, but like 11, 12 year olds starting high school now, who they'll turn around and go, oh, what do you want to be when you're older? Oh, I want to play for Wigan. And you might have had one in the year before in each school, and now you might have 10, 20. And for me, that's the exciting thing now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm lucky enough that's part of my job, and I get to see it every day, and I get to coach young girls that have, you know, maybe never picked up a rugby ball and give them that opportunity. But, you know, it's nice when, you know, we're going out to schools and people could see Georgia playing on the TV, and, you know, when he's a real life superhero stood in front of you, and girls love that. So obviously, hopefully now with the more exposure and out there, that'll just carry on growing as it has done.
That's it. So like your job, you work for Wigan, you're there, you're in the community, you're going to schools, you're doing. Can you imagine, like, when we get a proper television deal, when you're back playing and you go to a school and, oh my God, that's Rachel Thompson. She's actually here. Yeah. I saw you on TV yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I think the club posted a few weeks ago, and I was on a TikTok and I didn't know say the end of it. And that's how crazy social media is as well. It's also nice to see, and that's what we want to do. We want to inspire the next generation of girls, because they're the future, and, you know, I've seen firsthand how valuable these academy girls are, and we need to keep bringing them through. So, you know, that's the place to be, is in schools, in local amateur clubs, because that's where they're producing these girls. So, you know, I never had the opportunity when I was younger. I didn't play rugby in school, so I'm trying to give, you know, girls the opportunity that maybe I didn't have, because I'm one of the people that just love the game, stupid enough to just stay and do it however and whenever I could. And not everyone's got that luxury or that passion for it, but hopefully, you know, now the more it's out there, the more they want to get involved.
That's it. We go again, we'll talk about this. So you're working there. You have to think, a few years ago, there were no under-19s. Most teams were lucky if they had an academy, and the academy most of the time was set up to stop people going to other clubs. There was like two teams who had academies, and all they had the academy for was to stop the teams on the doorstep signing the players from their doorsteps. Every team's got an under-19s now. Most Super League teams have a women's team. Most championship teams are getting there. And you go, like, rugby league growing because of women. In the figures, it shows the only growth is in the women's game, nothing else. In young girls and women. And it's the craziest thing ever. You're there on the front line of that.
It is, yeah. And like I say, I'm one of the lucky people, because I get to see it, you know, every day. And that's why I enjoy it. It's not really work. It's having fun and inspiring in girls, and I love it. So I guess my job is just to keep them girls invested in and enjoying rugby, because, you know, I think people see rugby as a big scary contact sport, and the amount of times, you know, I've done it, getting it into PE lessons, and, you know, actually realizing that there's more to rugby than just whacking each other. It's just having fun and having a mess about with your friends, and then to see them go to for local amateur teams is what it's all about. You know, even if I can only get five girls, at, you know, a term to go and play at their amateur club, then my job's done.
That's it. It's fantastic. You like five a term, and you turn it over year after year after year, and every team should be doing this now. Every team should have females in their academy who are players for that team, who are faces of that team, who can speak, who can talk passionately about it. And it's easy then.
Yeah, it is, you know, and that's why I don't lie to people, sorry. And I go out there and I say, yeah, I play for Wigan, I work for Wigan, and I love my job because I love Wigan, but I'm sure it's the same in most other areas. You know, there's people in Leeds, in St. Helens are doing the same thing. We're here because we love it. We're not here because anyone's paying us millions of pounds of money. And I suppose that's the beauty of it. We're being honest because we wouldn't do it otherwise. We're not being paid to say these things. If we say we love the team and we love the club, it's because we do. And I suppose that without that money in there, there's not really an incentive other than we do it because we love it, and it's a hobby, and obviously it's great. You know, when money is involved, it gives us more opportunities, but it doesn't take away the passion we have for the team and for the club.
I think one thing that needs to come in is get a proper media outlet deal. There's a central funding pot, and every team goes, this is your X for your players, this is X for their X for them, and everyone gets this flat rate on a game. They're trying it in the women's NRL now, they're having massive problems with it, but it'll come in. We've got the numbers now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely getting out there on social media, but it can definitely be more visible and sort of be in your faces as it was when the World Cup was on. You know, so many people were invested because of what they were seeing on social media. And obviously the coverage on the BBC was something that the women's game had never had before. So every game being showed was a massive step, but they need to build from that. There's no point just, you know, never now making Women's Rugby League visible, because that's the whole idea of the World Cup, you know, is building that legacy. It's a bit of a waste if we don't build from it and we don't get ourselves out there.
Well, that's the thing. You're a proper diehard rugby fan. How good was it last year to see coverage on BBC of Rugby League, men and women's, Channel 4, Super League, Sky, Super League, Premier Sports Championship, Sportsman women's matches, then you had a few on Sky. I don't think we've ever been covered properly on five outlets before as an entire sport, ever.
Yeah, it was massive. You know, that's what we want, that's what we're driving to get there. And Rugby League is growing, and I think, like you said, the women's side of it is growing faster than any other side of Rugby League, and it's exciting. It's good to have that access to it, because a lot of people have never seen much Women's Rugby League before, and, you know, they're finally getting to see it and realise how good it is. And I know how good it is. I've watched it, played it for years, but, you know, it's never been that visible to everyone else unless you've bothered to come and watch it. And I suppose only maybe your friends have, a few of your family have come to see it, but now it's accessible to a, you know, a wider audience, and that's what we want. It's exciting to see, but they need to keep going from there and keep growing it.
Well, that's the thing, crazy one. My son wants to play rugby, he finds it a bit difficult, he's got autism, really big lad. There's no rugby teams on his doorstep for his age group. My daughter, who's 6 years old, she can go to three teams in her town because they've got girls' groups all the way from there, all the way up. And I'm like, this is crazy. A couple of years ago, with the exact opposite, you might have had a group of 10 and 12-year-olds and a group of 15, 16-year-olds. Nothing in between, nothing before that, and nothing after.
Yeah, it is, like you say, it's crazy, and it really is growing, but that's what we want. Like when I was a young kid, there wasn't anywhere for me to play. You know, after I finished playing with the boys, it was we'd go to festivals and we'd have to merge teams together, and it would just turn up and see who was playing. And,
yes, it turned up, you know, and hope other people were going to turn up to make that squad.
Yeah, literally, you could be playing with, you know, 13 other people, and you've all got a different kit on because they're just from different clubs. It's just whoever's available will play. And now some team, you know, amateur teams, like look at Lee Miners, where I played from being 16. They've, at some age groups, got two full teams. It's great to see, and, you know, it's exciting where the girls' game especially has gone, but that's just feeding into, you know, the women's game, and that's why the women's game now is getting as big as it is, because all these amateur clubs have started something that there's now the demand for it. So it's really exciting, and I'm glad to, you know, be a part of it.
That's about time for today, so thank you for coming on, Rachel. We'll speak to you later on in the season. Is there anyone to give a shout out to before you go?
Yes, thank you for having me. I suppose at the minute the only people I can thank are the physios that put up with me on a daily basis and, you know, listen to me whine. But no, you know, my family and my coaches and my teammates have been really supportive of me of the last 16 months, as obviously as well as the physios. I definitely couldn't do it without them, and, you know, the club, they've invested a lot of time into helping me with my recovery as well and trying to get me back on the pitch. So I guess just a massive thank you to them, and hopefully sometime soon I'll be able to repay that favour by getting back out there.
Honest to God, thank you for coming on, because it's always a pleasure. And I cannot wait for you to be back out on that field, because that's where you belong. Exciting is.
Thank you.
Thank you, good night.